morning. I greet you in Jesus' name. The name above all names, the name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall declare that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. May the peace and the joy and that life he brings indwell us and empower us and guide and direct us. That when we're faced with covered up wells, we can dig another well. When seeds are planted, that they're good seeds, that they'll grow to be good fruit. I don't know what God is doing today or who is here that he's talking to, but there seems to be a clear message that God has brought to us today. The title of my message is Set Your Affection. Set Your Affection from Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above. If you're going to plant things of the earth, you're going to reap things of the earth. If you're going to plant things that are heavenly, you may inherit things that are heavenly. How is it that without planning these messages, there's nobody that said, okay, today we're going to talk about planting and sowing and reaping. God is speaking to us. And I pray that every one of us is open, but especially if this message is for you, that you will hear it. And that you will draw near to God. And set your affection on things above. Would you kneel with me for prayer? Oh, Father in heaven, as we gather here in your holy name, as we bow before you, Father, we also bow not just our knee and our physical body, but our hearts and our minds. Father, we seek to surrender our will fully to you. We seek to open our hearts that you would continue to speak to us. Oh God, as I kneel here before you and as I stand before the congregation, God, my heart trembles to consider that your word is sharper than a two-edged sword. I pray, God, that you would speak and that I could just be a channel for your power, your words. I pray, God, you would speak to us. Help us, Father, to hear your word. And may it be fruitful. May it change lives. May it help all of us, Father, to be more like you are in every way. God, we commit this message, this hour, this time of hearing your word into your hands and pray that you would fill us with your spirit. Father, that you would fill this place with your spirit, that you would break down every stronghold and that you would cast out every evil imagination and that by your spirit we would know light and truth. Pray for your guidance, your direction, and your very presence with us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. This morning, I would like to look at a number of words that come forth in that passage. And I would like to have all of you be following along, and I may call upon you to draw from the inspirations that you are getting during the message to help fill in some of these words with scriptures that may be coming to your mind, and we will see how we can learn from the Lord. If, let's think about the word if, the word seek, the word set, the word affection, the word above, and the word earth. Let's be looking at those words. Now, there's a lot of ifs, some 500 ifs in the New Testament. But some of those ifs are very significant. And we're going to read just a portion of ifs. I want you to notice the if and how important the word if is. If ye be risen with Christ. If ye be risen with Christ. So I'm going to just quickly read through these. Matthew 4, verse 3, when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be bread. Matthew 6, verse 14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Then his disciples... Sorry, this is another one. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 17, verse 20. If ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Matthew 19, verse 17. Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. These are all ifs that Jesus has given us. Very, very significant ifs. If we want to follow him, we must take up our cross daily and follow him. And one of those crosses may be somebody covering our well, and we have to go dig another well. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. You can flip those around and say, if you don't continue in my word, then you are not my disciples indeed. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. What if we don't have love one for another? How will men know that we are his disciples? John 15, verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. If ye abide in me, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 1, 7, but if ye walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek. What is the definition of seek? If we play hide and go seek. How is the game of hide and go seek if they go hide, no one seeks? You follow? Search for something. Look for it. Going from place to place. Genesis 37, verse 15 and 16, Joseph was looking for his brethren. He was going from place, and a man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? It was clear that he was looking for something. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Look for them, inquire for them, to ask, to solicit, to endeavor, to or gain by any means. Webster says to look for, to ask for, to solicit, to endeavor, to find or gain by any means. Seek. Are you risen with Christ? Is it evident by your seeking? Are you looking? What are you looking for? Where are you looking? Luke 11, verse 9 says, And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If you seek, you will find. If you don't find it the first time around, you go looking again, right? When we play hide and seek, do we just get up after we count it and we say, can't see anybody. Okay, game over, I can't find you. Children, is that how we play hide and seek? No. We go running and we think, might be there, might be here. Maybe behind this bush. Maybe in that little shanty. You go looking for them, right? And you find them. Seek. Seek. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Look for them diligently. Go looking for them. What comes to your mind when I say set? What's the first picture that you get? Set. What's the context of set? What's the definition of set? Anyone? Put something in place. Set the table.
Quite possibly something that would be fixed to serve a purpose for a long time.
Something that's fixed. You set the machine at a certain position and you set it there. It's fixed. It's established. Concrete sets. Thank you. Set. A set screw holds something in place. Thank you. Young men, if you ever go on fishing and you set the hook, you understand what I'm talking about, setting something in place. It's established, it's firm. If you don't set the hook, they'll spit it out. Now, let's think about set. Our affection. Set your affection. Set to put in place, to fix. Maybe even as a broken bone, to set it in place, the right place, the place where it belongs. Affection. Set your affection. What is affection? If you set the hook, does it affect the fish? What effect does it have on the fish? The fish is now drawn by the line it's attached to. Set your affection on things above. The things that affect you. The state of being affected. So our affection, what affects us. Let's allow what affects us to be the things which are above, not the things which are below. Our passion is another definition for affection. Our feelings for. A third definition for affection is a bend of mind towards a particular object, holding a middle place between disposition, which is natural, and passion, which is excited by the presence of its exciting object. Affection is a permanent bend of the mind formed by the presence of an object or by some act of another person. Our affection is the way our mind is bent towards something. Another definition is desire, inclination, propensity. What is our desire? Set your desires. Set them. Put them. Establish them. Make them solid as concrete on things above. Our desires, our inclinations, can be good or can be evil. Galatians 5, verse 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. There it's talking about evil affections, the evil inclinations, the darkness, the things that we want to do. Those affections have been crucified with the flesh. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affection and lust. Turning to Romans. Chapter 1. Talks about, and we'll read verse 31, and then we'll step back in a bit here and look more into the things of the earth, these evil affections. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Natural affection, meaning naturally we have affection towards, say, our family, towards kindred, towards community. And in this earth-focused affection, these evil affections, people don't even have those natural affections. They have a reprobate mind. What scriptures come to your mind when you think about affection? To help us understand where are our affections. There's actually, I guess I must have missed that on my notes. There is, the word affection is translated also to mind or thought. And I had that here. I must not have put it on my notes, but so I don't have the exact scripture where thought and mind is translated from the same word as affection. So when we set our mind on things above, when we set our thoughts on things above, we are renewed. We renew our mind. We renew our thoughts. This affection is not something that just kind of happens on its own. Like maybe wells digging themselves. It doesn't really just happen. It's something that we need to be intentional about to set, to make a deliberate effort to do, to have our affections to things above and not to the earth. Our natural man will tend to have our affections be toward what is pleasing to the flesh. And so, if we are risen with Christ, then we must be intentional about setting our affection on things above and recognizing when our affection is set on things of the earth. Realizing that in the same way that when you plant a tomato will grow. It's easy to understand at that level. And yet somehow, as we get older, we look at the Word of God, we somehow think that we can have our affections set on things of the earth and be spiritual minded, or set our affections on things of the earth and yet inherit with Christ. To set our affections on things of the earth and yet claim the promises that God has given us. Above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. above where Christ, and I'd like to take just a little bit of time here and think about Christ, turning back to Colossians. This book of Colossians is just filled with amazing scriptures of who Christ is, who God is, and how he has performed this amazing thing of making us one with him. Let's read a couple verses here, and I'd like for you all, if something comes to mind, when you think about who is Christ, how would you describe Christ? How would you be ready for that? So first, or in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Meet is not a word that we use very often. To make us meet. Meet means to be made able or to be made worthy of. He has made it possible that we can be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Can we just stop there for a bit? How many of you would like to be locked up in a dungeon where there's rats and mice and it's dark all the time? Children, can you imagine that with me? Maybe even we could do it in the office back there. If you went in the office and we closed the door and there's no windows and it's dark, dark, dark. Would you like that? What if you heard something scamper around and there was a mouse in there? Would you like that? That's not what we're talking about when we think about the inheritance of light. And we heard this morning about dig another well. What if there is something with an inheritance? I think we all understand that when there's large sums of money and there's children and there's a will and something's not quite divided exactly equally, inheritances can be a big deal. Now, if my dad were extremely wealthy, and he was worth $50 million. And he died. And his will, he said, because David is the pastor of Bethlehem Christian Fellowship, I want all of you to inherit part of this $50 million. And you would each get $500,000. Would that do something for you? Destroy us. There's something about inheriting something big that makes us, our flesh, say, "Ooh, wow, that, okay, well, Or maybe I'm alone in that. Maybe I'm the only one that struggled would kind of say, "Ooh, well, that's inheritance." Now let's think about, and what we're doing here is we're thinking about Christ and what Christ has done. He has made it possible that we can be inheritance and inherit with the saints, with the people who will inherit things that are way better than $500,000. Way better. We can't describe it with our mouth what we can inherit because of Christ, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. He has delivered us from that dark room, from that dungeon, from that bondage of sin, from hell. This is Christ that we're talking about. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now, if it were possible, and I believe this is something that probably will face us when we face death, we will see our life. We must give account for our life. What if it happened today? What if it happened right now? What if my name came up here and then all of my life flashed before you? Every thought, every word, every interaction, everything. Whew. Just like that, we'd know what our life was. Every sin would be scarlet red. How much red would flash across the screen? How many sins have you done? And he has forgiven us every sin. If we have forgiven others their sins. Who is Christ? He has redeemed us through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Christ is the image of the invisible God. All the things that we saw in Christ's life, all the things that have been recorded of what he spoke, of who he was, of what he did, is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn of every creature. He was before every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, or principalities or powers. All were created by him and for him. All principalities and all powers. Now think of every nation in the globe and think of every principality. Think of every power on the earth. It was all created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. If it weren't for Christ, things wouldn't exist. He is the head of the body, the church. Christ is the head of the body. He is the head of the church. I'm not the head of Bethlehem Christian Fellowship. Just you all understand that? It is Christ who is the head of not just Bethlehem Christian Fellowship, but every believer who doth the will of the Father which is in heaven. The things above, if we do the will of our Father which is in heaven. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. This is Christ. All fullness dwells in Christ. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him. I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, every one of you, could say all your names, but just say your name. You, not you, you, individually, every one of you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Christ has reconciled every one of us who were in that darkness, in bondage of sin, despaired, hopeless, hurt, pains. People took our wells. People filled our wells again and again and again. That doesn't feel good. When people fill our wells and we have to go dig another well. When people take thousands and tens of thousands of dollars and we have to let go. Doesn't feel good. Our flesh. And I say our. I should maybe say my flesh wants to rise up. My flesh wants to have my rights. But Christ When he came, he hath reconciled all these things. In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you and me holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. This is who Christ was. All these sins, all this bad that was in our records is unreprovable. There can't be any, we're unblameable when we're in Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek, look for, search for, go after the things which are above. Set your affection. Set that hook. Allow yourself to be affected by the things which are from above, not the things which are of the earth. Set it in concrete. Establish it. The things which are above, not the things which are below. In 2 Colossians 2, verse 7 through 15, they will break in verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him, rooted and builded up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, again, we're back to who is Christ, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When we think of God, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator God who rules and reigns, in Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him. We are complete in Christ, which is the head of all principalities and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision not made with... In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Christ comes and cut those sins, that sinfulness, that sinful nature. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. The power of Satan, the principalities of the kingdom of darkness, Jesus made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. He has crushed the head of the serpent. There is no power beyond the power that we give to that kingdom of darkness. That's what Christ has done. That's who Christ is. Now, let's go back. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, above, set your affections on things above. Maybe before we go there, what thoughts do you have or scriptures come to your mind, brothers, that describe Christ, that help us know who Christ is? Christ. All in all, everything. And yet, making himself of no reputation, he came here and he suffered for us. Let's think about things above. So we set our affection on things above. What does that look like practically? When we seek those things which are above, not the things which are on earth. What are some practical things that come to your mind that are above? Seeking those things which are above. Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you, brother. So what Reuben said was to, when we go about our work, the purpose is not to work for wealth and fame, but to work so we have to give to the poor, so we have to supply our needs, and not to establish an abundance of want. Is that correct, brother? Others, what are things above? See, yes, Brother John. Caring about the souls of men. Amen. Lost people. How does it look? What's the practical outworking? How does it look day by day when we care about lost souls? When we set our affection on things above, our love, our passion, our things that affect us, the things that we're affected by, how does it look when we care for lost souls? We're caring for the things above. Any others? Amen. Amen. So in Colossians 1, verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So we're preaching, we're warning men, we're teaching men. Amen. Seeking those things above. Yes, Reuben. How do sisters set their affection on things above? Well, I have my, one of my notes here that I have on things above is godly seed. A family. Children. How often, sisters, do you think about and consider that you are influencing the next generation? You are influencing the next church leaders, you are influencing the next church leaders' wives. How are you affecting the kingdom of God, and how do you set your affection on things above? Well, what you're doing, maybe you're not going out and preaching on the street every day, but maybe you're having a Bible study with a sister or two. Maybe you're giving that encouraging word. Maybe you're going with and supporting your husband in his ministry, wherever the Lord has called him. Prayer is a big one. Yes, Brother John.
With that, I heard it say one time, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world.
The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, which is, I believe, very true. The impressions that are made, the habits, the things that are established at a young age affect us. So, mothers can be protectors of their children, but having that vision, setting the affection on supporting your husband in raising a godly family. Because we men need help, or at least I do. We need help. There's a reason that God created a helpmeet. It wasn't just so that man would have a companion, because man needed help. The Word of God. Would that be above or of the earth? Above, right? Seek those things which are above. Seek the Word of God. Search the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. The Word of God must be in our minds and in our hearts. We must know the Word of God. That's one of the ways that we seek those things which are above. teach the Word of God, love the Word of God, plant the Word of God. Talk about seeds again. The Word of God will grow. And when we meditate upon the Word of God will change us. The Word of God will affect us. It will affect us in a good way. The Word of God has power. The Word of God is the judge. If you want to know what you're going to be judged by, here you go. This whole thing of standing before God and being judged is not some mysterious, questionable thing. Just as the law is written in the books of the law on this earthly kingdom, and that's what judges need to go by in order to rule and to make a judgment, they do it based on the law. God's word is given to us, and that's what we will be judged by. There's no surprises. So, why not learn the Word of God? Seek the Word of God. Love the Word of God. What other things are things above, not things of the earth? How about church? How about brothers and sisters? Is that above or is that of the earth? Pretty clearly above, right? Set your affection. Allow the church to affect you. Allow the believers, the body of Christ, the brothers and sisters. Set your affection on things above. When we are with brothers and sisters, when we are with people who care for the things of Christ and for the things that are above, then we will be affected by that. Just in the same way that if we're people who are with people who are ungodly, with people who use vain words, cursing and swearing, we will be affected by them. Unless we are very intentional about affecting them. But if we're just complacently spending time with people, we will be affected by them. Set your affections. It's not just a coasting along kind of thing. It's saying set your affections, establish them. Make them firm, make them sure, fix them in place. On things above. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. Cast it from thee. Set your affections on things above. And community. John mentioned lost souls. Those are things of above. What does the community need? Are we caring? Are we compassionate? When people see us, do they see Jesus? That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. How do we present? If we give a presentation, if we were to give a presentation of who Jesus is, what would we put on the slides? What images would we use if we were to present? What if we are the slides? We are the presentation that we may present every man perfect. To give a perfect presentation of who Christ is. Does the community get the right picture of who Christ is when they see us, when they hear us? Are we seeking those things which are above? What about things of the earth? Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Don't allow the things on the earth to be affecting you. Don't establish the things that can affect you. Don't establish a connection with the things of the earth that would affect you. Let me just read in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 31. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that were made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I think we heard this morning that all creation is praising God. Not only that, all creation is also presenting who God is. So that every man, every one of you, every one of us is without excuse. We can't say, oh, I didn't know you were God. I didn't know. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Even because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. One of the things that can be an affection of the earth or below is to think we have become wise. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So these people thought they were wise. They were wiser than God, or there was no God. And they were foolish enough to take a piece of wood, and I think it's Jeremiah that speaks specifically about how they would do this, taking a piece of wood and hewing from it a god and using the rest of it to burn. What makes this part holy and this part is fit to cook our food with? Doesn't make any sense. They became fools, changing the glory of the incorruptible God to stones and pieces of wood and worshiping them. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Talk about planting seeds and harvesting. They did this, and this is what God did, giving them up to uncleanness. God, could you say, let them go? He gave them up. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creator, the creature, more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Because they did this, they worshipped the creature more than the creator, because they changed the truth of God into a lie. And is that not so often what happens? They take the truth of God and they twist it. And just like Satan said, if thou be the Son of God. And he tries to take scripture and twist it. And we could put right into this, things of the earth is music. And there's probably no place that happens more today, where the truth of God, the words of God, are wrapped up in the deceptiveness of wicked music. For this cause God gave them up. He let them go unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. When we seek not those things above, but we seek the things of the earth, because we do not like to keep the knowledge of God in our mind, God gives us over to a reprobate mind. Do you want your mind to be reprobate? To be not able to think good things? To be continually thinking evil things? That's what will happen when we sow the seeds of setting our affections on things of the earth. It will happen that God will let us go. He will let you go and give you over to a reprobate mind. And what happens then? God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. If I understand that verse correctly, it's not just even if you do it, but having the pleasure in people who are doing it puts you in the same boat. It's the same thing. Ask yourself, are you any of those words? Do you find yourself backbiting and hating God, being despiteful or proud or boasters? Are you inventing evil things? Are you being disobedient to your parents? Are you without understanding? Are you breaking promises? Are you merciful? The seeds that we plant is what will grow. The things that affect us is who we will become. And it's up to us. We must be the ones making the decision. Set. When mom says set the table, it doesn't just happen. You have to go. You get the plate. You set it down. You set the glass. You set the silverware. You're being intentional of where you're placing it, how you're placing it. When we set our affection on things above, it doesn't just happen. It's for us to say, is this love, is this affection, is this passion that I have, is it for things above or is it for things of the earth? What are some things of the earth that may be affecting us as individuals, as a congregation, as a community? What are things of the earth that we must be careful and examine ourselves whether we have set our affection, whether we have set that hook and allowed ourselves, like that fish, to be affected? Money. Oh, there goes our inheritance. Money. That's why everybody said it would ruin us. Money. Automobiles. Fast cars, big trucks, can be an expression of pride, of lust, of covetousness. Are we willing to face it? Are we willing to recognize it? Or is it, it's just a little thing. It's just a little cucumber seed. Surely won't give a cucumber. It's just a tiny little tomato seed. Surely it'll be a corn plant. How foolish is that? How foolish! You would never plant a tomato seed and expect there to be a corn plant. Who in their right mind would do that? Why then do you think you can have a little bit of covetousness, a little bit of pride, a little bit of lust, a little bit of the world in your heart, and it won't grow? Impossible. It's why we must die daily, because we still have this nature. And if somebody says, you just inherited $500,000, well, again, maybe I'm the only one, but boy, I think about, that would be an answer to prayer. I could buy that farm and I could, we could work together as a family. I could quit my job. I could just see things, light bulbs going off if you get $500,000. Maybe you don't deal with that. Money has a way of moving us. It has a way of moving us. Not saying that money is wrong or is evil, But money has power. When you don't have it, and then you have it, notice the difference. What are your needs? What are your wants? Do you have lustful desires? Wealth, fame. Would fame be something that we seek that is above and that affects us towards the heavenly? To be famous and everybody knows who we are. It's of the earth, isn't it? Have we set our affection on things of the earth, on things that would draw us away from God? Pleasure. Pleasure. Is that something that might be of the earth? What are some pleasures that we practically might need to be thinking about? I don't think pleasure of eating. Oh, brother. Pleasure of eating. Now that's getting right close home to the heart. It tastes so good. I could eat some more and not be too full. God help us. Pleasure. Pleasure of recognition. Pleasure of speed has a way of pleasing young men, especially. Go fast. Strength. Power. Is it affecting us? And is it affecting us downward or upward? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That's the world. We can't have world in our heart. We can't have a little seed of a world and expect it not to bear fruit. I'm going to close here by reading Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 17. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, deaden. Don't allow them to live. Your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian nor Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, so we put off all these, and now we put on, therefore. We take away the affections of the earth, and we put on the affections of above. Holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. Does it sound like digging another well? Digging another well. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye, so also do ye. And above all these, above all the putting off and putting on, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. Love. Put on charity. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. If you don't have the peace of God ruling in your hearts, meaning if the peace of God isn't able to be there, if the peace of God, when we think about letting the peace of God rule in our hearts, it means taking direction by it. If we do something and we don't have the peace of God, let that guide you. When we do something and we have the peace of God, let that guide you. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let our affections be set on things above and not on things of the earth. May God bless.